God's guaranteed plan for you is to have all-round success. Therefore, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You are invited as you listen to the senior pastor, Daystar Christian Center, Pastor Sam Adeyemi.
Topic, a new class of men. A new class of men. And we shared on the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he hung on the cross, how he was crucified, and on the third day, the power of God hit him in hell. And Jesus threw off principalities and powers. Jesus gained authority over them. Jesus overcame the devil. Jesus disarmed the principalities and powers. And the Bible tells us in Colossians 2:15, he made an open show of them, triumphing over them on the cross. The eternal truth here is Satan is defeated. It doesn't matter how much havoc he may have caused in your life or in my life, Satan is defeated. Defeated forever and ever. Hallelujah. He was spoiled on the cross of Calvary. Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we'll just continue a little bit and share the communion. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll read verses 6 to 10. We'll pray and go ahead and share God's word. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 to 10. It says, we do, however, I'm reading from the New International Version of the Bible. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden, and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it. For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Lord, in Jesus' name, we want to thank you. Because your word says that there's a secret wisdom hidden before time began. And that it was ordained unto our glory. And the Bible says, Lord, that these things are revealed unto us by your Spirit. So we call on you, Spirit of Revelation. Open the eyes of our understanding. Share with us this secret so that we may experience the glory. We thank you, Lord, because transformation and change is coming on our lives. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, this verse is one of the verses that excite me in the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 6. And then you get on to verses 7 and 8. When it says that there's a secret that's been hidden from the foundation of the world. And it says that the rulers of this world, or the princes of this world, did not understand it. And then he says, if they had understood it, they would not have killed Jesus. The greatest regret that the devil has is the fact that he killed Jesus. Every time a born-again Christian says, in the name of Jesus, devil, I rebuke you, the devil says, oh, there. Because we end the right to use the name and the authority of Jesus when he died on the cross and resurrected on our behalf. The greatest mistake of the devil's life was that he shed innocent blood. If they had known it, they would not have crucified the King of Glory. I thank God that they did not know it. I thank God it was hidden from the devil. Because if they had not crucified the Lord of glory, then I would not have had my right to divine healing. I would not have had my authority over principalities and powers. I would not have been able to bind devils and cast them out of people. I would not have had the right to be free from poverty. If they had not crucified the Lord of glory, then you and I would have had to sacrifice animals every year. Can you imagine? This altar wouldn't have been as neat as this. Today you would have dragged a sheep, amen, to the church. And we would have slaughtered it and shed the blood. And I would have carried a part home as the high priest. Hallelujah. My servant would just come with one big fork. And just anyone the fork carries to the pastor's house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the blood of the Lamb of God was shed once and forever. If they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Thank you, Lord, that you could hide this thing for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. That prophets were busy giving prophecies here and there and giving prophecies and giving prophecies. And the devil heard some of those prophecies but did not understand those prophecies. That Jesus himself said it with his mouth, I won't give you any other sign except the sign of Jonah. 3 days and then I will rise up. Pull down this temple, after 3 days I will rise up. He did not understand. From Genesis chapter 3 verse 15, God had told the devil, the seed of the woman, I'll put enmity between your seed and his seed. He will bruise your head, he will bruise his heel. He did not understand. When God was telling Abraham, through your seed will all the families of the earth be blessed, the devil did not understand. I thank God that the devil did not understand. Thank you, Father, for hiding the secret. And thank you, devil, for being as dumb as you've always been. He did not understand prophecy. But the Bible says here in verse 9, eye has not seen, ears have not heard, neither has entered into the heart of any man the things that God has ordained for those who love him. Verse 10 says, but these things has he revealed unto us by his Spirit. You remember the Bible says that wisdom, that secret hidden wisdom in verse 7, was ordained for our glory. Holy Spirit, reveal it to us. God will grant you access to secrets in the mighty name of Jesus. Things that ears have not heard, things that eyes have not seen, things that have never entered into the heart of man. Okay? The core of the secret, the revelation of which the Apostle Paul got from God direct, was the fact that when Jesus died, he was not the only one who died. When he resurrected, he was not the only one who resurrected. When he was put down and he sat down at the right hand of God, he was not the only one sitting there. That's the revelation, that when the Son of God was crucified on the cross of Calvary, the demands of justice in heaven were satisfied, and that mankind forever will be free from the dominion of sin and the dominion of the devil. That's good news. Hallelujah. Jesus shows up after his resurrection where his disciples were gathered, and he says, all hail, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Hallelujah. That was the essence of the whole business. He now had the keys of hell and of death. Turn with me to Romans chapter 6. And let's see very clearly what happened when Jesus died. Romans chapter 6. What's my own thought out of this whole deal? Romans chapter 6. We read from verse 3. Romans 6 from verse 3. He says, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Verse 5 says, if we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. Hallelujah. This is the powerful secret hidden in the death and resurrection of Jesus. In the mind of God, when Jesus hung on the cross of Calvary, he was not the only one there. In the mind of God, because he had no right to be there. He was not supposed to be there. He was not a sinner. And the wages of sin is death. But someone was dying who was sinless. He was dying on our behalf. So when he hung on the cross of Calvary, in the mind of God, Jesus was there. And in the mind of God, all sinners were dying with him. When he died, we died with him. So you understand the Bible says here, we were baptized into death with him. If we have been crucified with him, and of course we have been crucified with him. In Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, Apostle Paul says, I am. We understand that in the original Greek text, it is I was. There's one translation of the Bible, Connie Bear translation, that says, I was crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but it's Jesus who is now living in me. So the first thing you must understand is this, that when Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, we also died. How do we explain that? If you owe a bank 1 million naira and the debt has been there for, let's say, 5 years, and it's becoming an embarrassment, they're about to sell your building or whatever, it's going to be a big embarrassment. And then your elder brother steps in and pays off the money you borrowed along with the accrued interest. If 3 weeks after your brother paid the money on your behalf, the bank sends you a fresh letter informing you that if you don't pay that debt in the next 5 working days, they will take you to court, what will you do? I will call the bank manager and I will go there personally. In fact, I will go there personally, and apart from that, I will ask my lawyer to write them a letter to apologize for defamation or assassination of character, or else I will take them to court. You understand me? I am not a debtor anymore. Now, what if the bank says, well, in any case, you were the one who got the money from us. It was your brother who brought money. We are not reckoning the money that your brother brought against your name. What will you say? Mr. Bank Manager, I hope there's nothing wrong, because my relationship with the person who brought the money is not your business. The issue is that the money has been paid. Now, this is the side that God took away and covered from Satan. He did not understand that by God's arrangement, Jesus was to be your senior brother. Hallelujah. And he did not know that the debt that Jesus was paying was actually on your behalf. In God's reckonings, in his books in heaven, God was going to credit the debt of Jesus to your account. Praise the Lord. Because Jesus did not owe the devil anything. We were buried with him. His debt was your debt, and his debt was my debt. Let's move on to Colossians chapter 2. We'll read a few verses there that also confirm the process. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Verses 12 and 13. It says, having been buried with him in baptism and raised with him through your faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. Verse 13 says, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. You notice what happened here in verse 12. It says, having been buried with him. So we did not only die with him. When Joseph of Arimathea carried him and put him into the tomb, we were there. Amen. Joseph of Arimathea carried all of us, because the Bible says here that we were buried with him. When Jesus sank into hell, descended into hell, we were there, because he was doing it on our behalf. All of that, the exciting part to God was, as he stayed there in heaven, although it was painful that his son was going through all of this, he was crediting the whole experience to the accounts of billions of human beings who had been bound and who will be bound under the power and the dominion of sin. He was busy. Our accounts were changing. So when Jesus died, God credited it to all of our accounts. Died for sin. When Jesus was buried, God credited it to all of our accounts. Buried. Hallelujah. It says, having been buried with him in baptism. And then the next verse says, and raised with him through your faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. So when Jesus was raised from the dead, it was credited to our account. They are now raised from the dead. Verse 13, when you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. So God, when Jesus came alive, God credited to all of our accounts. They are now alive spiritually. Now this is where the good news is. When God told Adam, in the day that you eat of the fruit of this tree, you will surely die. He was talking about spiritual death. And now the Bible says, when Jesus came alive, we also came alive. What Adam lost in the Garden of Eden, we got the day Jesus rose from the dead. So you are not dead anymore. Amen. Adam ate the fruit. All of us died spiritually. But now we are not dead anymore. The Bible, you remember it says in verse 13, when you were dead in your sins. In Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1, the Bible says, and you has he made alive who were dead in your sins and trespasses. Everyone who lives in sin is a walking corpse, spiritually dead, insensitive to life and the power of God. But now the Bible says you are alive. Somebody say, I am alive. Amen. Not just naturally, not just physically, but now you are spiritually alive. What does it mean for a person to be dead? It means that all of the person's senses are suspended. Am I right? If a person... We read in Romans chapter 6 that anybody who is dead is free from sin. Can a dead man commit sin? A dead man can't tell lies. You can't lie against a dead man. He said, who stole the 10 naira here? He says, it's the man who died. It's the dead man. Nobody will believe you because you can't lie against a dead man. A dead man can't sin. Insensitive. Now, when Adam died, when we were dead in sins, it simply means all of our spiritual senses were dead. We were spiritually blind. We were spiritually deaf. We were spiritually lame. We were spiritually lifeless. We were spiritually speechless. We lost all sense of spiritual feeling and sensitivity to God. We could not smell, we could not taste spiritually anymore of the goodness of God. We lost the connection completely with God's supernatural sphere. And now the Bible says you have been made alive. So now your spiritual eyes are open. Now your spiritual ears are open. Now your spiritual mouth is loosed. Now your spiritual hands are kicking. Hallelujah. Your spiritual legs can keep. Praise the Lord. Now you can make spiritual motion. Now you can move in the realm of the spirit. Now you can feel spiritually. Now you can taste spiritually. You will taste the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Now you can hear God. So you will hear God. I said you will hear God. One of the things that will confuse unbelievers about you as a Christian is when you say, God told me. That's very confusing. Almighty God who created heaven and earth told you. When did he tell you? Say, last night. How did he tell you? He told you in my spirit. That one I don't understand. Amen. But that's the truth. My spiritual ears are now open. Your spiritual eyes are now open. You will see new things. I said you will see new things. You will see things you have never seen before. In the mighty name of Jesus. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. Just make say some other thing about what happened when Jesus rose up from the dead. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. It says, verse 16. It says, beyond all question, the mystery, that's the secret hidden wisdom, the mystery of godliness is great. He appeared in a body, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up in glory. The key phrase I want us to take there is that he was vindicated or justified by the Spirit. What does it mean for a person to be vindicated? Discharged and acquitted. Not guilty. Now, if when he died, you died with him, you were buried with him, you were raised with him, you were made alive with him, then if he was vindicated, then you were also vindicated. That's part of the whole package. Help me to tell someone next to you, you are not guilty. Somebody say, but I'm guilty. Say, eh. But the judge said, not guilty. So it's your choice whether to tell the judge, I'm sorry, I don't want to go home. Amen. Return me to the guard room. Amen. But the judge of the universe says, now you are not guilty. Why? The price has been paid. The wages of sin is death. After you gave your life to Christ, Satan had no more right to tell you you're a sinner. That's why Romans chapter 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Hallelujah. What happened? Verse 2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You are free. It doesn't matter if you told a lie yesterday, at least you asked Jesus to forgive you, didn't you? If you did that, if you haven't, then there's a problem. But if you did that, then tell the devil to go to hell. While you're trying to ask God, Lord, bless me, Lord, in Jesus' name, this job, whatever, the devil shows up and says, you're a liar. You're a sinner. You can't. Maybe you wrote the exam, the results came out, and it looked like something funny happened to the exam. The devil tells, it's because you're a sinner. You remember all the things you did before you got born again? You think God just forgives people like that? It's not easy. It's not easy for people, God, to forgive people like that. You just said a simple prayer after the pastor in the church, after all the abortions that you committed, and now you are parading yourself as if you are one of those fine sisters in the church. You are a liar. If they know your story in the church, the day they know your story, you will be shamified. The day they hear your story in that church. But you know the interesting thing? God didn't call you to shame. He called you to fame. Amen. Hey. After you gave your life to Christ, all your mistakes turned into miracles. And the devil thinks that in the church, when we hear who you were before, we will now ridicule you and put you under. He doesn't understand all of us were like that before. And he doesn't understand that there are things we now know by reason of the Bible, such that when you tell us the kind of a person you were before, and you now tell us you are born again, instead of saying, whoa, there, what a bad person this is, we'll be jumping up and shouting, hallelujah! God defeated sin in somebody's life. Amen. The bigger or the greater the sins you committed, the greater your testimony. The greater the demonstration of the power of God. The deeper you went into the occult, the more powerful God demonstrated himself in bringing you out of the occult and turning you into a son of the living God. We thank God. Hallelujah. We're not ashamed to let people know we were sinners before. The church is not for saints. The church is not for perfect people. The church is for imperfect people who admit their imperfection and people who have experienced the grace of God. Amen. I'm a testimony to the grace of God. Praise the Lord. Say, hey, you. See, anybody who even sees your lips will know you smoke cigarette. You. And you will go and you'll be using the same mouth to sing praise and worship to God. I will deal with you. Hallelujah. You have been vindicated. You are free. Somebody say, I'm free. I don't care what the devil feels. I don't care what the devil thinks. I don't care what the devil said. I am absolutely free. And I don't care what anybody said. I'm free. Amen. I'm free. Help me to tell someone next to you, your opinion does not matter. Since I heard what God had to say, what you have to say does not matter anymore. For your information, I'm free. Amen. I'm free. Praise the Lord. I'm free. I'm free. All right. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6 describes also the process again. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. You know, we died with Christ. We were buried with Christ. We were justified with Christ. We were raised with Christ. We were made alive with Christ. Now verse 6. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. That's a mind-blowing one. To hell with the devil. So when God raised Jesus from the dead and raised him up, took him to heaven, and Jesus sat down at the right hand of God, the Bible says in the mind of the creator of the universe, all of us were also raised with him and we sat down. So where are you seated? I say, I'm sitting in Daystar Christian Center on a very beautiful white altar chair. You are gone. Hallelujah. I can't forget the story of people who were six people who gathered around to cast out the devil out of someone. They rolled their shirt sleeves, rolled their trousers. Today is today. They were going to cast a demon out of someone. They were going to do it all night. And now they had the person stand there. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, you foul stinking devil, come out! After a few minutes, the demon began to manifest, move through the person, and then there was a spirit of levitation there. You know, the person just began to rise. He was just moving up. So he lifted from the ground and was suspended in the air like this. If you see someone like that, what will you do? For your eye not to see evil, the whole of your body will be the solution. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. So this person was suspended in the air. And he said, then the demon spoke out through the man, turned to one of those who were trying to cast him out, and said, where are you standing? The man said, I am standing on my feet. The demon just slapped him. Boys, where are you standing? The next person said, I'm not standing. I am seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all principality and power. Hallelujah. Now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, come out of him. The demon screamed, the man fell down, and the demon escaped out of the person. Hallelujah. What was the difference? One person was absolutely concerned about his physical position. The other one was absolutely engrossed with his spiritual position. Amen. You are not just a natural being. You are a supernatural being. You are not just alive physically. You are alive spiritually and supernaturally. And that's why we are having the teaching. So you will know who you are. Hallelujah. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above all principality and power. I'm seated in the position of dominion. I'm at the right hand of God. If I'm at the right hand of God, then for God's sake, why should I be afraid that witches and wizards are following me? It is not witches and wizards that are following me. It is ignorance that is running after me. Can witches and wizards pursue someone who is sitting at the right hand of God? Hallelujah. After Jesus rose up from the dead, do you think witches and wizards could have pursued him? If witches couldn't pursue him after he rose up from the dead, then witches can't pursue you. In fact, on the other hand, I'm sure he's the one who is pursuing witches and wizards. So if ever in your dreams there have been objects pursuing you in the dream, when you get back home today, I prophesy in Jesus' name, have a sound sleep. And then if they show up in your dream, in Jesus' name, turn around and pursue them. Power has changed hands. Hallelujah. It was the witch that had power before. Now there are human beings who are more powerful than the witch. And if a spiritually powerful person is called a witch, then I'm also a witch. But I'm a superior witch. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now the important thing that I'm concerned about is, how does this impact your life? How does this affect your life? How does this affect my life? How do I translate this into practical, tangible blessing? Listen, this thing was done 2,000 years ago. It was concluded and finished. For 2,000 years, Jesus has been sitting at the right hand of God. He's not going to come down again. He's not going to die on the cross again. Once and for all, the deed was done. I remember I read in one of the books by this tremendous man of God from the United States, Kenneth E. Hagin. And Kenneth Hagin said there was a day when in a vision he saw the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people have that gift and the grace to be able to see Jesus. It doesn't make you more spiritual than other people. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not only those who have seen vision that we enter heaven. Praise the Lord. All of us, we enter. Praise the Lord. The requirement is to be born again. Praise the Lord. Seeing vision is one of the ways by which God speaks. I've not seen one. Amen. So you stand up and says, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Say, she's very spiritual. Hallelujah. Anyway, Kenneth Hagin saw this vision where the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to him. And then he says, while he was discussing with Jesus, there was a demon that came, a monkey-like demon, and it began to produce smoke. And he produced the smoke like a scream. And the more the smoke came, the less Hagin could hear God or could hear Christ. After some time, he saw through the smoke. He noticed Jesus just continued what he was saying, but he was not hearing anything anymore. He stayed there, waiting for Jesus to cast the demon out. Tell the monk, tell the stupid thing to go. Jesus didn't say anything. He just went on talking. So later, when Hagin realized Jesus is talking, he just, you foul, sick devil, get out in Jesus' name. The demon just disappeared. And then he caught on what Jesus was saying. Then he said, excuse me, Jesus, didn't you see the demon? He said, of course I saw him. Why didn't you tell the demon to go? Jesus said, when I was here physically, I told them to go. But now that I died and resurrected, I'm now sitting at the right hand of God. I've given you the authority to cast them out. I have no business casting demons out anymore. It's your choice. So until you cast them out, there was nothing I was going to do. It's now your choice to cast the demons out. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So the issue now is, how does this practically affect my life? How do I enjoy? 2,000 years ago, it's been provided. Before I was even born, God had already provided. God knew I would be born in sin. He already made the provision. How do I enjoy the blessings? In John chapter 1 verse 12, the Bible says, as many as received him, who believed on his name, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Who were the people he gave power to become? Those who believed. So your faith is the connecting point between these spiritual realities and the realities of your life today. Your faith is the connecting point. To those who believed on his name, he gave the power. What you believe is what you become. You can't become what you don't believe. That's very important. Listen, your life will turn out exactly the way you expect. In 5 years' time, your life will turn out exactly the way you expect that it will turn out. In 10 years' time, it will be exactly what you have believed. So your faith is now the connecting point. I'm sitting at the right hand of God. If I'm sitting at the right hand of God, why should I be failing exam here? I remember there was a day I was feeling feverish. I had headache, high temperatures. I was lying down on the bed, shivering. And I remembered, this verse of the Bible just came to me, 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. Herein is our love perfected, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment. For as he is, so are we in this world. Abba, that's the plain truth. So I asked the question, I said, Jesus, where you are, can you have headache? And of course, the answer is, that's not possible. Can you have fever? That's not possible. So I jumped down and continued with my normal activities. Within 5 minutes, all the symptoms disappeared. As he is, so are we in this world. Jesus, if you write, I was failing this particular course in school, and until the day I said, Jesus, if you write this paper, will you fail? He said, no. He said, no. If Jesus can't fail it, then I can't fail. Hallelujah. So your faith is the connecting point. As many as received him who believed, to them he gave the power. Your faith is the connecting point between you and the power to become the person God has ordained that you should become. In Luke chapter 1 verse 45, the angel Gabriel looked at Mary and prophesied that she will get pregnant without knowing a man. Mary said, how will it be? In Luke 1:45, the statement was made. Blessed is she that hath believed, for there shall be a performance of those things that were told her. There will be a performance of all the things I'm saying tonight. In your life, there will be a performance of all the things written in the word. But the key to it is, he says, blessed is she that has believed. For there shall be what? A performance. If you want to see the performance, then you've got to have faith in what the word of God said. Now you will notice, all those passages that we read were written in past tense. We were buried with him, not we will be buried. We died with him, not we will die with him. We were raised with him, not we will be raised with him. We were made to sit with him in heavenly places in Christ, not we will be made to sit. We are already there. In the spirit realm, the job is finished. The simple thing is, how do we translate and transfer these spiritual realities into natural realities down here on this earth? Colossians chapter 1. I like to read Colossians chapter 1. I want to get a bit on the practical side. Passages of scripture that you've just got to claim and enjoy now. Colossians chapter 1. Verses 12 to 14. It says, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. So you have a share. Alright, verse 13. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. You notice what it says in verse 12? Who has, it's in the past tense, who has done what? Qualified you. If you've ever seen anybody God blessed by the instrumentality of his word and the Holy Spirit, it's a testimony to the fact that you will also be blessed. Because God is no respecter of persons. There's no partiality with God. So he says here, you have been qualified. Somebody say, I am qualified to be blessed. I think that's the greatest question any human being first of all wants to have answered in his or her life. Adam and Eve were disqualified. And the next verse, verse 13, says that God has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and has brought us into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. You remember that in the Garden of Eden, God drove Adam and Eve out, and there was a flaming sword that was swinging in front of the garden. Any human being who attempts to step in while having the nature of sin and of the devil, strike him dead. But you know what? You are now qualified to enter back into the garden and to eat of the fruit of life. Hallelujah. Enjoy the blessings. Enjoy the blessings that God ordained for us from the foundation of the world. We have been rescued from the dominion of darkness and brought into the kingdom. Now, you have changed citizenship. That's what that verse is saying. You have changed citizenship. Only God knows how many Nigerians have applied for visa lottery, backing it with tongues, backing it in the spirit realm, with faith, with positive confession. They even sow the seed sometime in the church to be able to, Lord, in Jesus, America. They want to become American citizens. Some countries are better than some others. Some countries are more comfortable than others. But you see, in the realm of the spirit, there are only two countries. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. Hallelujah. And now, those who are under sin are in the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of the devil. And the Bible says here in the past tense, when all those things we discussed happened in the spirit realm, Jesus died, he resurrected, he was made to sit at the right hand of God. The Bible says when all of that was happening, God rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his dear son. You have changed spiritual citizenship. You are now a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. If we were to carry physical passport, you will have a passport of heaven. You're a citizen of heaven. Amen. Now, when you have changed citizenship, I'm sure you know your citizenship rights have changed. There are countries where if you happen not to have a job currently, the local government will give you a flat and pay you some stipend every month. Now, it's your business if you walk up to local government to go and claim your right. I think the first thing you should do if you change nationality is to study the constitution and understand your rights. Amen. You have changed spiritual citizenship. He says God has now brought you into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. All the laws and the constitution and the policies and the rules and regulations of your former country have lost control over your life. If, for example, you used to be a Nigerian and now you have become a Briton, when you get to Britain, God bless you, it's your responsibility to recondition your mind. Isn't it? Or else, if you apply for driving test, you will fail first class if you try to drive in Britain the way you are driving in Nigeria. Because every single time you will be driving on the wrong side of the road. But they shouldn't allow you to drive for 1 year. They should just carry you around and allow you to take public transport, or else you may kill somebody there. By the time you drive, keep right, and you see everybody keeping left, you will think something is wrong with them. You won't know something is wrong with you. You know, that's what happens sometimes when you come into God's house. You are just born again. You don't understand our language. You don't understand everything. So you just have to adjust to the new country that you have arrived in. I remember I had a head of department once as a student. He went to the U.S. to study for 3 years, and he came back. And one day after a lecture, he was passing by a kiosk. And then he walked up to the kiosk and told the sales girl, "Excuse me, can I have a bottle of soda?" That one said, "Sir, we don't have soda. We have Coke, we have Fanta and Sprite." He said, yeah, that's what I mean. I mean soda. The people around said, "Oga, it's not soda we call it here. It's Coke." Amen. It's Coke. There are people who have come from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God, and they are still calling what we call Coke here soda. It's not soda. Hallelujah. The way we talk here is different. Praise the Lord. You need a complete recondition. But believe that your citizenship has changed. Believe that the devil has no control over your life anymore. Believe that the rules and operations of hell, of sickness and disease and death, have no control over your life anymore. That's absolutely important. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Like I said, your connecting point is now your faith. What do you believe? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Have you noticed that once Nigerians change location and find themselves either in the UK or the US, that immediately most of them change their donation? Have you noticed? Their accent. And some of them, what they are saying is not actually the exact way they say it there. But you just find out you can't hear them anymore. They are not talking through the nose. Nelaha, as it means, well, you understand the way they say like, that's not even how they say it there. Some hair hostesses and whatever that have been trained there. You just went there for a 6-week course. You came back to Nigeria. Now you are giving announcement at Murtala Mohammed International Airport. And this is an announcement. What did she say? Hallelujah. You are now in a different country. Amen. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 from verse 14. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Hallelujah. It says, since one died for all, then all have died. Great. So that all those who live now should not live to themselves, but for him who died and who was raised again. But the good verse I like is verse 16. From now on, we do not view anyone from a worldly point of view. In other words, don't call me who I was. The day I accepted Jesus into my life, everything changed. It was the same Kenneth Hagin I was talking about earlier on, who after he got saved, met one of his old friends. And I was chatting excitedly, "Hey Ken, it's been a long time since I saw you. You remember those days? Those days when we used to hide in the alleys and one bully would be walking on the street and we'll just pick one brick, one good stone and go from behind and knock them down. You remember the days when we used to go to the disco party and we'll just dance all night and get drunk? You remember, Ken?" Ken said he was just looking at the man with an expressionless face. "Hey Ken, don't you understand what I'm talking about?" Kenneth Hagin responded, "The Ken you are talking about is dead." The guy's eyes became wide. Like, eh? He took a few steps backward. "You mean I'm talking to a ghost?" He said, "No." It's been in existence. Whew, hallelujah. You are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Oh, wait, but I'm afraid I may die. Robbers may attack me. Do you realize that the son of the president of Nigeria will have bodyguards if he's going out in public? If the son of the president of Nigeria will be guarded, what about the son of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Then you must remember that it says in Psalm 91, he shall give his angels charge over thee. They shall bear thee up in their hands. You will not dash your foot against a stone. They keep you in all of your ways. There are invisible secret agents going with you everywhere you go. You don't know how many people they have slapped on your behalf. You don't know how many they have arrested. Hallelujah. You don't know how many people they have lashed with spiritual koboko. You don't know how many they have put obstacles on their way so that they will not be able to get around you. You can't die now. Hallelujah. You are secure and safe. Now, to believe that these things are true simply means you should confess that they are true. One, you should act as if they were true. Stop talking like the devil is after you. Stop talking like the devil is powerful. Stop talking like you are poor. Stop talking like you can't do anything about the sickness. Stop talking like you couldn't handle the failure in examination. Stop it. That does not agree with your destiny. And stop acting as if you can't make it. Begin to act as if it was true. Begin to talk as if it was true. Hallelujah. I remember there was a day I was discussing with some people. We were just having a general discussion. We were talking about someone who fell sick. And they said, anybody can fall sick at any time. I said, no. They said, it's common knowledge. Anybody can fall sick at any time. I said, no, I can't be sick. And I was talking to unbelievers. They say, anybody can fall sick at any time. I said, I cannot be sick. They said, why are you talking like that? Then I began to expound to them from the scriptures things concerning myself. By the time I was through explaining Isaiah chapter 53 verses 4 and 5, Matthew chapter 8 verse 17, I explained 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24, they said, for someone who has knowledge like you, it's true. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When I left them and go back home, I said, Father, you heard what I said. I was not boasting because of myself. It was you I was boasting about. So please just make sure I don't lie down on the sick bed until I leave this area. Amen. Hallelujah. I did not have any power to keep myself from falling sick. But I chose to believe what the word said. And I was bold enough to tell people I cannot be sick. And I'll tell you this, even if I'm shivering, I'll tell you I am not sick. I was doing a test today. It's checking up on my health. And then I think they call it ECG or something. And then the nurse came and said, have you done it before? I said, no. He said, it's not painful. Don't be afraid. I said, no needle. He said, are you afraid of needle? She said, if you are afraid of needle, then don't come to the hospital. Which means you should not be sick. Because it's only when you are sick that you come to the hospital. I said, no. It is not only sick people who come to the hospital. You yourself should know that some people should come sometimes to come and check on their health. I came for medical checkup. I am not sick. I won't allow a nurse to confess on my head with all the scriptures that I know that I am sick. Can Jesus be sick? God forbid. And as he is, so are we in this world. I just came to check up on myself. Amen. Praise the Lord. In case you have not done check before, go and check. Praise the Lord. Somebody's wondering if I'm doing check regularly. Because I must combine Bible sense with common sense. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. I cannot be sick. There was a day a young man died in the environment. And I was encouraging some guys. Hey, you can die at any time. What will you do when you go to face God if you've not accepted Jesus? They said, anybody can die at any time. Then I said, no. The constitution by which I operate is different. How can I sit down? An unbeliever will be telling me anybody can die at any time. If I nod my head, Satan will calculate one premature death somewhere. So I said, no, I cannot die now. They said, anybody can die at any time. I said, no, I will not die at any time. They said, why are you talking like this? Then I began to expand to them again from scripture. I showed them from Genesis chapter 49 how Jacob died in the Old Testament. That's even before Jesus died, the Old Testament. The Bible says that he prayed for his grandsons. He crossed his two hands, laid hand on this one, laid on this one. He prayed for them. After praying for them, the Bible says that he wittingly gathered his legs on the bed and he slept. He died deliberately. In John 10:18, Jesus said, no man taketh my life from me. I lay it down and I pick it up again. I have power to lay it down and I have power to pick it up again. By the time I finish, they said, it's true. You can't die now. Amen. Praise the Lord. Someone next to me is saying, the country is very hard now. You said yes. You just allowed hell to come and operate on you. The country is not hard. Somebody says, nobody is drinking tea now. I said, sorry, some of us are still drinking. I said, there is no job anywhere. There is job somewhere. I said, but you are jobless. I said, God forbid, I can't be jobless. Praise the Lord. I can't be, where there is no vision, the people perish. When God has shown me what I will become in life, I cannot be jobless. Even if I'm jobless with respect to career, I'm not jobless with respect to casting demons out of people. Praise the Lord. I can't be jobless. So from today, your confession will agree with the constitution of the word. Your actions will agree with the constitution of the word. Now, you can't be blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places and be the most sorrowful person in your house. You are the only one that is born again, and you are the only one who carries a long face about. What is the use of being born again? He says, sorry. Hope nothing is wrong. Nothing is wrong. He says, something must be wrong. Tell me, what's wrong with you? How can they be asking someone who is sitting at the right hand of God, what is wrong with you? If somebody asks you what is wrong with you, tell the person, sorry. Reframe the question. What is right? Because nothing is wrong with me. Everything is right. Hallelujah. There was someone who had malaria once. He was sick. He refused to lay on the bed because he remembered that the Bible says in Mark chapter 16 verse 17, these signs shall follow those who believe. They will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He said, So he stood up. I said, I'm going to look for a sick person to lay hands on. While he was moving, he was shivering. He was shivering. From cold. Someone saw him and said, bro, what's wrong with you? He said, nothing's wrong with me. Yeah. But why are you walking like this? He said, how am I walking? He said, you are not walking well. He said, well, it may be another style of walking. Hallelujah. He was shivering. Amen. He was shivering. He went to look for someone who was sick, laid hands on the person, and the person was healed. By the time he got back to his room, somebody who was sick had also gone to the room. The person didn't meet him. So the person took his jacket, wore it, prayed, dropped the jacket, and was healed. You are not a sickness carrier. You are a sickness destroyer. In the mighty name of Jesus. If you feel any sickness or disease or pain on your body tonight, it's a lie of the devil. And tonight, the lie will disappear. And the truth will prevail. In Jesus' mighty name. Believe. Somebody say, I believe. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I believe that I was buried with Jesus. I believe that I was raised with Jesus. I believe that I am alive with Jesus. I believe
that I'm sitting at the right hand of God with Jesus. I believe that I am delivered from the power of darkness. I believe that I am now in the kingdom of God's dear Son. I believe that I am born of God, and greater is he that is in me than the devil who is out there in the world. I believe that I can overcome the world by my faith. I believe that I'm a new creature, and all things are passed away, all things have become new. I believe that I cannot fail anymore. I believe that I can't be sick. I believe that I cannot die a premature death. I believe that I cannot be barren. I believe that I cannot be poor. I believe that I am blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. I believe that I am more powerful than principalities and powers. I believe that I am more powerful than witches and wizards, than demons and principalities and powers. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. If in your office there is someone who makes medicine and does charms, from tonight, when you step into that office, all the demons will cease to operate. Do you know some Christians are afraid? They say the person goes to the village every weekend. Me too. I go to the village every day. Amen. I also have village. Say, he has one powerful baba that is backing him up. I say, Haba, who can have a more dangerous baba than the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the creator of the ends of the earth? I have a baba. Hallelujah. He is the oldest of all the babas in existence. When I resort to him and I come back to the office, anybody who does not take time can lose their lives. I have a powerful baba. If you have a herbalist operating near you, their business will be paralyzed. Just stand in front of your house and make a pronouncement. You know, there was someone living in a house. The flat over him, there was another tenant. Now, this Christian will wake up in the morning, Riboskoto, Jebro Sataya, in the name of Jesus, Matoskoto, I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, I exalt you, I praise you. He'll be making noise. The person, the tenant upstairs, warned him, stop making noise in the morning. Man said, don't disturb me, I'm praying. I don't like that kind of prayer. I said, well, it's your choice. Hey, in the name of Jesus, every day I rebuke the devil. Whatever I bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever I lose on earth is loosed in heaven. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah, all things are working together for good for me. So one day, the tenant threatened him and told him, I will make sure that they eject you from this house. The man said, hey. So when the believer woke up the next day, he came down on his way to work. He laid hands on the flat of the unbeliever and said, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I declare this flat vacant. See, because there are some tenants who are more powerful than their landlords. You need to understand that. You can't have a child of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one who has the art and all that is there in your house, and you'll be harassing him. Not to talk of a co-tenant. So one day, the Christian just came back from work and said, I've not seen this man for some days. Go. He found out the man had packed out. He didn't know when the man packed out. One day, he met the man on the way. He said, wait. What happened? You packed out of the house. You didn't even tell us. The man said, please, just leave me alone. He said, there was one day you were praying that your prayer. I don't know what you say, shake or something like that. I don't know what you say. But as you were praying that prayer like this, something just hit me on the bed. The thing carried me up and landed me on the ground. That day I knew that my time was up in the flat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You want to harass somebody who died with Jesus, who was buried with Jesus, who was raised with Jesus, who was made alive with Jesus, who was vindicated with Jesus, and who is now sitting with Jesus on the right hand of God. Anybody who tells you, you won't be promoted in this office except over my dead body, say amen. If it has to be over your dead body, then praise the Lord. It's the earlier you lie on the ground and let me pass over you, the better, because I will be promoted here. Praise the Lord. I will be promoted here. I was walking on the street one day, just enjoying myself in the Lord, singing and celebrating and praising the Lord. And there was a vehicle that was coming. The man wanted to park his car by the side of the road, and he was coming at me. Something just rose up inside me. So I stood on the road and looked at him like that and said, come. He came close. I stood there. I said, come. The man stopped the car. I was looking at me. I said, God saved you. Have you ever seen where a car hit a human being before and it was the car that was damaged? You would have seen the demonstration today, because I can't be carrying Holy Ghost inside me and you will come and hit me. Praise the Lord. There was one of our brothers like that. He was walking in Ibadan, a young pastor. One car just came, one taxi just came from behind and hit him from the buttock. Just threw him off like that. The brother just stood up. The young pastor just stood up and did like this. The taxi driver came out. Oh, nothing is wrong. Not a single scratch. They looked at the vehicle. The whole of the front was damaged. Hallelujah. It depends on what you are carrying. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't believe it's a vehicle that will come and kill me on the road. Those days are gone. Praise the Lord. If you are going into a vehicle, the reason why there won't be an accident is because you are there. Because there are angels guiding you and helping you. Praise the Lord. So you will not die. You will live to declare the works of God. From today, especially as we share the communion, I release you into an entrance to the realities of the blessings stated in the word of God concerning you, in the mighty name of Jesus. A man of God said one day he was traveling with his wife, traveling in the car, enjoying. And then they got to a bridge, just one lane. You know those bridges where that can take only one vehicle at a time? They were already on the bridge when this funny trailer driver came from the opposite direction. Instead of stopping and waiting for them to go through, he got on the bridge. Some of those funny demon-possessed people love to harass drivers of small vehicles sometimes. So the man of God said, he looked at him. Of course, there was no point reversing anymore. So he said he just put his leg on the accelerator and continued. He said his wife said, what is happening? He said he just put his leg on the thing and said, good things are happening. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Before they got to the trailer, something just carried the trailer and the driver and threw them inside the river. Man just continues his journey. Praise the Lord. If you allow the demon to enter you, if we can't get the demon out of you, then we'll carry you and the demon and throw you away. Isn't it? Praise the Lord. Sorry, the man died, but sorry too that he allowed the demon to enter him. Proverbs chapter 11 verse 8 says, the righteous is delivered from trouble and the wicked cometh in his stead. From today, if they have decided somebody will die in your office, it will overshoot your head. You are not the one who is going to die next. From now on, by the power of the Spirit of God, the words written in the Bible are coming alive for you. As we share the communion tonight, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you will enter into the reality. It will become real to you that you have died with Jesus, that you have resurrected with Jesus, and that you are sitting at the right hand of God. Authority and spiritual power will enter your spirit man. Fear will disappear from your heart. In the mighty name of Jesus. Stretch forth your hands towards this communion table and begin to pray. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, I enter into the reality of my blessings as a new creature in Christ Jesus. All things have passed away. All things have become new in my life. I declare today all things have passed away, and that all things have become new.
I declare that today all things are passed away. Now begin to prophesy everything in my life that looks like death. Everything in my life that looks like the former country I'm coming from. Everything that looks like failure, poverty, backwardness. Everything that looks like pain. Everything that looks like sickness. Everything that looks like the oppression of the devil. By the power of the Spirit of God today, as I partake of this communion, as a new creature in Christ Jesus, Lord, I declare they are gone. They are over. We give you praise, Jesus. We give you praise. Lord, in the name of Jesus. Now I want you to begin to pray. Galatians chapter 3 verse 13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. The one sitting at the right hand of God cannot be cursed. Can't be cursed with failure or poverty. So in Jesus' name, I break free from every kind of curse. In Jesus' name, I break free from every curse. I break free from every curse. I break free from recurring failure in my life. I break free from stagnation. I break free from sickness. I break free from fear. I break free from confusion. I break free from high blood pressure. I break free from diabetes. I break free from cancer. I break free from asthma. I break free from fear. I break free from premature death. I break free from the family curse. I break free. I break free from Africa's curse of poverty. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. In Jesus' name. Rise up to your feet and let's pray. We give you praise, Lord Jesus. We give you praise. Hallelujah. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. Lift your hand with me. Hallelujah. We give you praise. We give you praise, Jesus. We give you praise. Heavenly Father, I have declared tonight that the wisdom that was hidden from the foundation of the world is now revealed to us by your Spirit. I have declared that when Jesus died, all of us died. When he was raised, we were raised. I have declared that now, according to your word, we are sitting at the right hand of power. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I command blessing on everyone who has believed. I declare there shall be a performance of those things that have been told to you. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Tonight, I declare the power that raised Jesus from the dead will enter your spirit. It enters your soul. It enters your mind. It enters your body. In the mighty name of Jesus. I declare by the power of the Holy Ghost, the mind that was dead must come alive now. Amen. In the name of Jesus. I declare the body that has experienced pain and sickness, receive your healing now in the name of Jesus. I prophesy, as you partake of this table tonight, new life will enter you. The mind of Jesus will enter your mind. The Spirit of Jesus will saturate your spirit. The power of Jesus will hold up your physical body. In the mighty name of Jesus, your mind will begin to function like the mind of Jesus. Because the Bible says you have the mind of Christ. Every cell in your brain will come alive. Every cell in your brain comes alive. The mind of Jesus constructed miracles. Your mind will produce miracles. In the mighty name of Jesus. The mind of Jesus believed all things were possible. Enter into the realm of faith. Enter into the realm of possibilities. Step into the dimension of the supernatural. In the mighty name of Jesus. We give you praise, Lord. We give you glory. All things have passed away. All things have become new. So I declare failure has passed away. Failure in marriage has passed away. Failure in business has passed away. Failure in finances has passed away. In the mighty name of Jesus. Failure in professional examination has passed away. Failure in interviews has passed away. In the mighty name of Jesus. Failure in your spiritual life has passed away. In the mighty name of Jesus. The sickness has passed away. Lord, I give you the glory. Power.
poverty tonight has passed. Forever and ever in the mighty name of Jesus. The same way the destiny of Jesus changed when he rose from the dead, I declare today your destiny has turned around. Your destiny has changed. In the mighty name of Jesus. The grave clothes could not hold Jesus down to the tomb. I declare today every grave cloth Satan tied around your life is loose today. In the name of Jesus. The stone that was rolled on the mouth of the tomb was supposed to seal Jesus to death forever. There are people who think they have locked your destiny in forever. Some may have used bad luck. Some have used charms. Some have made incantations. But I declare today by the power of the Spirit of God, every stone rolled against your destiny is moved now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we give you the glory and the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Please bow your head with me for a moment. If you are here, you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'd like to pray with you. You've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. It must be the reason why he brought you tonight. In case you are here tonight, you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you want to ask Jesus to forgive your sins, you want to become the new person we're talking about, I'd like you to just raise your hand where you are. I want to pray with you. Hallelujah. You want to say, Pastor Sam, I believe this is my night for a change and a turnaround. Is there any such person tonight? I'd like to pray with you. Thank you, Lord. We give you praise. And perhaps you've been born again before, but you've backslidden into sin. And the Bible says you should not approach the table of God with sin in your life and heart. You want to rededicate your life to Jesus. Will you raise up your hand and let's pray? Thank you, Lord. Any such person? Thank you, Lord. Now, will you say this prayer after me? Dear God, I come to you tonight in sincerity of heart and I ask for forgiveness for my sins. Let the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross of Calvary wash every stain of sin away from my life. I surrender my life to you. Be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for changing my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Now let me pray with you. Lord, I ask, let the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross wash every stain of sin away from their lives. Turn their lives around. Restore them back to fellowship with you. We thank you for this work of restoration. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Right, let's pray over these communion materials before we share them. Father, in Jesus' name, we want to say thank you. Thank you for the body that was broken on the cross of Calvary. This is no more just bread. This is now your body. Everyone who partakes tonight gets all the full blessings of the covenant in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you for the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. I ask today, O God, let there be an entrance into the reality of the death and resurrection of Jesus. As we take this wine, let your blood flow. Let your life flow. Let it enter our spirit, our soul, and our body.